March 13th readings. Matthides, the Epistle to Diognetus, chapters 9-10. Chapter 9. Why the Son was sent so late. The former time of sin and endurance. As long then as the former time endured, he permitted us to be borne along by unruly impulses, being drawn away by the desire of pleasure and various lusts. This was not that he at all delighted in our sins, but that he simply endured them, nor that he approved the time of working iniquity which then was, but that he sought to form a mind conscious of righteousness, so that being convinced in that time of our unworthiness of attaining life through our own works, it should now, through the kindness of God, be vouchsafed to us. The turning point of wickedness. Having made it manifest that in ourselves we were unable to enter into the kingdom of God, we might through the power of God be made able. But when our wickedness had reached its height, and it had been clearly shown that its reward, punishment and death, was impending over us, and when the time had come which God had before appointed for manifesting his own kindness and power, the one love of God, through exceeding regard for men, did not regard us with hatred, nor thrust us away, nor remember our iniquity against us, but showed great long-suffering, and bore with us. The great exchange of salvation. He himself took on him the burden of our iniquities, he gave his own Son as a ransom for us, the Holy One for transgressors, the Blameless One for the wicked, the Righteous One for the unrighteous, the Incorruptible One for the corruptible, the Immortal One for them that are mortal. For what other thing was capable of covering our sins than his righteousness? By what other one was it possible that we, the wicked and ungodly, could be justified, than by the only Son of God? The unsearchable mystery of grace. O sweet exchange! O unsearchable operation! O benefits surpassing all expectation! That the wickedness of many should be hidden in a single righteous one, and that the righteousness of one should justify many transgressors. Having therefore convinced us in the former time that our nature was unable to attain to life, and having now revealed the Savior who is able to save even those things which it was formerly impossible to save, by both these facts he desired to lead us to trust in his kindness, to esteem him our nourisher, Father, Teacher, Counselor, Healer, our wisdom, light, honor, glory, power, and life, so that we should not be anxious concerning clothing and food. Chapter 10. The blessings that will flow from faith. The knowledge of the Father. If you also desire to possess this faith, you likewise shall receive first of all the knowledge of the Father. For God has loved mankind, on whose account he made the world, to whom he rendered subject all the things that are in it, to whom he gave reason and understanding, to whom alone he imparted the privilege of looking upwards to himself, whom he formed after his own image, to whom he sent his only begotten Son, to whom he has promised a kingdom in heaven, and will give it to those who have loved him. The response of love and imitation. And when you have attained this knowledge, with what joy do you think you will be filled? Or, how will you love him who has first so loved you? And if you love him, you will be an imitator of his kindness. True imitation of God. And do not wonder that a man may become an imitator of God. He can, if he is willing. For it is not by ruling over his neighbors, or by seeking to hold the supremacy over those that are weaker, or by being rich and showing violence towards those that are inferior, that happiness is found, nor can anyone by these things become an imitator of God. But these things do not at all constitute his majesty. On the contrary, he who takes upon himself the burden of his neighbor, he who, in whatsoever respect he may be superior, is ready to benefit another who is deficient, he who, whatsoever things he has received from God, by distributing these to the needy, becomes a god to those who receive his benefits, he is an imitator of God. The transformation of perspective. Then thou shalt see, while still on earth, that God in the heavens rules over the universe, then thou shalt begin to speak the mysteries of God, then shalt thou both love and admire those that suffer punishment because they will not deny God, then shalt thou condemn the deceit and error of the world when thou shalt know what it is to live truly in heaven. The true death and true life. Then thou shalt despise that which is here esteemed to be death, when thou shalt fear what is truly death, which is reserved for those who shall be condemned to the eternal fire, which shall afflict those even to the end that are committed to it. The joy of suffering for Christ. Then shalt thou admire those who for righteousness' sake endure the fire that is but for a moment, and shalt count them happy when thou shalt know the nature of that fire. Augustine. Confessions, Book 7, Chapter 10, 20. The dualistic error. For hence I also believed evil to be a similar sort of substance, and to be possessed of its own foul and misshapen mass, whether dense, which they denominated earth, or thin and subtle, as is the body of the air, which they fancy some malignant spirit crawling through that earth. The influence of Manichaean thought, and because of piety, such as it was, compelled me to believe that the good God never created any evil nature, I conceived two masses, the one opposed to the other, both infinite, but the evil the more contracted, the good the more expansive. And from this mischievous commencement the other profanities followed on me. Struggle to understand Catholic teaching. For when my mind tried to revert to the Catholic faith, I was cast back, since what I had held to be the Catholic faith was not so. And it appeared to me more devout to look upon thee, my God, to whom I make confession of thy mercies, as infinite, at least, on other sides, although on that side where the mass of evil was in opposition to thee I was compelled to confess thee finite. A materialistic view of the divine. That if on every side I should conceive thee to be confined by the form of a human body. And better did it seem to me to believe that no evil had been created by thee, which to me in my ignorance appeared not only some substance, but a bodily one, because I had no conception of the mind excepting as a subtle body, and that diffused in local spaces, than to believe that anything could emanate from thee of such a kind as I consider the nature of evil to be. A misguided Christology. And our very Saviour himself, also, thine only begotten, I believe to have been reached forth, as it were, for our salvation out of the lump of thy most effulgent mass, so as to believe nothing of him but what I was able to imagine in my vanity. Fear of the Incarnation. Such a nature, then, I thought could not be born of the Virgin Mary without being mingled with the flesh, and how that which I had thus figured to myself could be mingled without being contaminated, I saw not. I was afraid, therefore, to believe him to be born in the flesh, lest I should be compelled to believe him contaminated by the flesh. Looking back in humility. Now will thy spiritual ones blandly and lovingly smile at me if they shall read these my confessions, yet such was I. Thomas Aquinas. Summa Theologica, Part 1, Question 37. Whether love is the proper name of the Holy Ghost? Objection. It seems that love is not the proper name of the Holy Ghost. For Augustine says that just as the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are called wisdom, and are not three wisdoms but one, so should they not be called charity, and altogether one charity. But no name which is predicated in the singular of each person and of altogether is a proper name of a person. Therefore, this name love is not the proper name of the Holy Ghost. Responsio, it must be said that love is the proper name of the Holy Ghost. In the divine nature, there are two processions, one by way of the intellect, resulting in the word, and another by way of the will, resulting in love. As the procession of the word is properly expressed by the name word, so the procession of love is properly expressed by the name love. Therefore, as the word proceeding is properly called Son, so love proceeding is properly called Holy Ghost.